Amen. Well, as you can tell from at least the topic of the devotion, the Lord has talked to me about being consistent. It is important that we be consistently consistent in our walk with God. And as we observe, as we remember if you want to call it a foundation type verse of until things change, which I suppose it never will change, because in Matthew's estimation of things, I guess that he summarized all that Jesus had said, and we know that Jesus spoke to Paul as well, and we know that he speaks to us as well. He's a living God. He's not mute. And he speaks even if we have deaf ears, perhaps. Well, I don't know perhaps about it, but we may have deaf ears from time to time. But he's still speaking. And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." That needs to be something that we're pretty sure of in our walk with God. That we believe that all authority was given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. We see as we observe the things that Jesus taught, the things that Jesus did when he was on the earth, we observe that he had a lot of authority. And that when he spoke, things happened. And if he had the authority to do that, then he also had the authority to give us the authority, didn't he? I was thinking today about Jesus, and by his stripes we were healed. And, you know, just as surely as he died, just as surely as he was crucified, just as surely as he was wounded and bruised, just as surely as he was whipped, if we're convinced of that, and if we're convinced that he rose from the dead, then just as surely, by his stripes we are healed. You can't have one without the other. You may experience one without the other, but it doesn't change the truth of both, correct? And so, just as surely as the very foundation of our faith is true, then just as surely the rest of the house that was built on that foundation is true, correct? And so, what we're doing as we take what the Lord gives us, as we grow in the Lord, what we're doing is coming to the place of manifesting what we're getting. Okay? I was thinking of a song, one of the first songs, one of the group of songs that I wrote when I was first saved, so that's 25 years ago, 24 years ago now. One of the first songs was, "He Died for Me." Whenever I'm weary, filled with despair, the cares of this world get me down, there's a thought in my mind that sees me through and it helps me to carry on. He died for me. Now, I have to tell you that that's not my favorite song anymore. But at the time, it meant so much to me. Now, don't misunderstand me. Stay with me in this, okay? I'm thankful that he died for me. And at the time that I wrote that song, that was the thing that was most on my mind. That he died for me. That he died for me. That he would do that for me. But I didn't have much grasp of his resurrection. Okay? So now, I want to reword that song. I'm going to work on that for the next level. Probably about four levels later now, or whatever the case might be. Because yes, he died. But that is not the most important part. The important part was that he rose again. That he was resurrected. That there's an empty tomb. That's the most important part. Because if he would have just died for me and not rose again, well, if you believe in your heart that he rose, you'll be saved. If he didn't rose, what would we have? We would have somebody that just sacrificed. We would have religion. we would have works. Okay? Now, the fact is, well, I don't know. I'm glad that God decides who gets into heaven. But I've become pretty lenient about who can go to heaven. Because it's not my business. Okay? But if they call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says they'll be saved. Okay? But the fact of the matter is that there are any number of people who accept His death that never learn to walk in His resurrection. They accept His death, and so they come out of death, but they're like Lazarus when he came out of the tomb. And Jesus said, you need to loose him and let him go. Still covered up with the grave clothes. Not manifesting what God has for them. Not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit is life. And so we have a certain amount of that. And so Jesus said, all power and all authority has been given unto me to make. So you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, and even unto the ends of the earth. Okay, so we're observing Jesus. And as we observe Jesus, we hang on His words, and then we hang on His actions. Because He always backed up His words with actions. He didn't just say things. He manifested things. And so, when Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 5, and we understand that we are blessed in the Lord, and when He is teaching, and He goes to chapter 6, and He says, now take heed that, you know, how you give. Take heed, and when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As He's teaching, Jesus was consistently consistent in His teaching. He was always clear that He had authority from God, that was where His authority came from. He was always clear that good and perfect gifts came from God. He was clear, because we've read the Bible, we know that He said He always did what pleased God. He always did what pleased God because He always sought God. And so, as He goes through all of the things that He's teaching them, He tells them about forgiveness. If you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. As He's going through that, He's talking about, as we go through teaching in the Bible, we say, stripe. I was reminded today, remember years ago, when we were all reading The Bait of Satan? And what was the bait of Satan? Offense, strife, bitterness, things like that. The bait of Satan, you know? We have to be reminded of those things that can come against us. I think that Jerry Savelle or Gloria Copeland, probably all say that, they call that blessing blockers. Yeah. I was thinking when we get to the verse where Jesus says, okay, don't worry. But seek first. Don't worry. Verse 31 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't worry about anything else. Seek that first. Okay? Well, if you have, don't worry about anything else, but then you fail to seek God and His righteousness, there's a wall that comes up between don't worry about anything else and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So something comes up, something is going on. We have a need. God, why don't you hear me? God, why don't you do it? God this, God that. And there's this wall. And on the other side of this wall is the kingdom of God and His righteousness is going, I've got what you need. Got it right here. Got what you need. But because we don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because we don't seek Him for our responses, because we don't seek Him and His way and His will, because sometimes His way and His will just isn't fun. But then it isn't fun to not be in His way and His will either. Is it? If we ever get comfortable doing what we know that doesn't please Him, we got a problem. Now, as I was writing this, it occurred to me that there are things that I fight a good fight on. But I have to keep fighting a good fight. And God said, don't fight that fight anymore. Finish it. And boxers, you know, they talk about being able to finish it. Finish them off! Finish them off! Finish them off! You don't finish them off, they'll come back and hit you. Knock you out. Well, the young people we were talking today and was talking about, you know, Wyatt is a bull rider. You got to finish the ride. I'm getting to be pretty much of a pro at bulls because I watch PBR. And once a month I stay at a Holiday Inn Express. At least for the next few months I've been at the Holiday Inn Express. Anyway, okay. But, you know, I mean, you know, because I hear him say, oh, he just needed to finish that ride, you know. Or he just wasn't paying attention when he came out of the chute. Because, if near as I can tell, if you're going to ride bulls, you need to be consistent about your mechanics. You need to be consistent about things. And Jesus was consistently consistent. Why in the world did God always do whatever He said? Because He always did what pleased God. And so He says to us, here's how. I mean, man, you read those three chapters, read those 4, 5, and 6, read chapter 5 and 6 of Matthew, and by the time you get to this point, you've got another one of those wows going. Only it's a wow, I can't do that. I can't be always forgiving. I can't be always loving. I can't be always blessing and praying, and I can't do those things because I don't want to do those things sometimes. It's my right. I've had children that said they have a right. I can't really argue with them. They do have a right, but my rights override theirs. And we must look pretty silly when we look at the Word of God and decide to do whatever we want to and say, well, it's my right. I wish it wasn't our right, but it is. God says, go ahead. Except for, don't expect the wall between don't worry about these things and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Don't expect that to fall down and just, oh, it's okay. God's not on again, off again. He's true to His Word. And so we've got to do it the way His Word says. It's got to be. You know, anybody can complain. We've had a tragedy in our community, and in the midst of that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that has really been mixed up, and one of those things has been the water bills. Okay, so you know, and so I sit and I listen to the attitudes of people. You know, you'll have people, they'll come in, they'll be complaining. I mean, like somebody maliciously charged the water wrong. And like, hello, hasn't there been a problem? Relax, it'll get fixed. Oh no, you just want to rip us off, that's all. For goodness sakes, how can you be so stupid and still breathe? Then you have people like my mother. My mother says, well, if they want to take it out twice, that's okay. That'll be all right. It'll be okay if they just take it out twice. You know, because it'll get straightened out the next month. Which one of those is the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I like mommy. You know? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's a glitch somewhere, so why do you need to jump on somebody and bite them over it? You could be kind and say, is there anything we can do to help? You know? I just called the bank and I said, which part's going to come out? Just so I know. They didn't know. But that's okay, because I'll find out. Now, I realize that for some people that could be a real problem. But if it is, somebody's going to fix the problem for them. But we're quick to jump and, anybody can do that. But I want to tell you something. Anybody can complain and criticize and all that kind of stuff. But what God told me was, in order for me to complain and criticize, I've got to compromise. Well, I'm sure glad I had a good attitude. My water bill came out. Because I would have to compromise the Word of God, because the Bible says I shouldn't do that. I should bless and curse not. That's what God says. And I want all these other things added to me. So if all the other things aren't being added to me, the first place I better check is, am I blocking the blessing? Am I in offense? Am I mad? Am I angry? You know, one scripture that I like it, but sometimes I don't like it. Because there's that scripture that says, that my wife and I have to be in agreement or my prayers aren't going to be answered.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. But it also means my wife has to be in agreement with me, sister. So we need to get in agreement. One of the other things that Jesus said, he said, okay, if you bring your offering and you realize that someone has an offense against you, leave it there and go fix it. It also says, if you're angry without cause, I'm glad that it does say without cause. I'm not sure what, I guess that means that you can't just be randomly angry. In other words, if you're going to be angry, you better be right. Because if you're angry and you're not right, then you're angry without cause. And if you're angry without cause, there's just a lot of hard things there. So that if we really read what Jesus says there, we're sitting and we're going, I need some help. I need some help. And we've got a foundation of help to build a house on, and that is seek first the kingdom of God. That's why we're supposed to have the Word engrafted, so that we will seek first what the kingdom of God's action is, God's way of doing it. Now, that doesn't mean that we are doormats, but it means that we are spirit-filled welcome rugs, maybe. We are able to apply the Word of God. I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus, by the natural sense of the word, he was helpless. And he said, you can't do anything to me unless the Father lets you do it. And the Father wouldn't let him do it if Jesus didn't give the permission. God never forced that on Jesus. Jesus prayed and gave the permission. So people who think, well, it doesn't matter what goes on, God just has charge of everything, need to understand who gave God the permission to give the devil permission. God isn't in heaven just saying, I've got a mess for you, and I've got a mess for you, and I've got a mess for you, and you just have to learn to live with it. No. Now, sometimes God's got all those things that, well, he always has them taken care of, like Sue said. He said, because you're a needy bunch. You are a needy bunch, and the thing that you need most is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff's just going to be added to you. The promises of Deuteronomy 28 are just as good today as when they were made. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are going to come upon you and overtake you. And I suppose it would do us good to read the last part of the chapter on occasion, just to realize what we opened the door to if we aren't going to do that. But I would like to just focus on doing the right thing and then receiving the right things. And if I'm consistently consistent at seeking God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word is there. It's in my heart. I just need to take the time to seek it. And then when things come that don't seem to be right, then I can let that rise up in me and say, God's going to do something with this to bless me. You know, something that God spoke to me about once was that, you know, so many times He turns things into blessings for us, but because they didn't become blessings the way we wanted them to, we don't bother to thank Him. We acknowledge that it turned out, but we don't give Him the big hoopla and the great big praise that we would have given Him because, well, I guess it's better than nothing. Without ever looking to see what He is bringing about. Without letting ourselves imagine, wow, look what God did. And if He did that, look what He's going to do. And what's next, and what's next, and what's next, and what's next. But we put up that wall, and the things that God has in store for those who love Him can't get through. Because we blocked them. Because we stopped them. We don't want to do that. We want to be like Jesus. Jesus was consistent. And if we're like Jesus, and He said, you be holy even as I am holy. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So within you is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But you have to seek it out. He doesn't push a button and manifest it for you. It's always there. It's always on. It's always running. God only goes on standby when we put Him on standby. Interesting thing today, I was substitute teaching and the kids were watching a movie and they were doing a thing on peer pressure. But the thing that was interesting to me about this is, and that I guess I know this, but it had to do with the machine itself. That when you pause it and you shut it off, it basically is on standby. So that when you turn it on again, it comes right back to the same spot for them. So if nobody messes with it, it comes right there. Well, you know, we may put God on standby, but guess what? Just as quick as we take down the wall, do what God says that we need to do, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we're right back there. It's not like it's a long process. It's like He's trying to get it to us. Those words don't disappear from the Scripture because we don't carry them on. They're there. We just have to go on with them. And so we have to make those choices as to what we are willing to do. We have to be careful not to compromise the Word of God. Wisdom says, Father, to comprehend the greatness of the power of God and what His Word tells us. In other words, rather than jumping to complain, wisdom says, Father. Wisdom stops and makes sure, you know, and just, it's okay. And sometimes in situations, I just need to say, it's okay. It's okay. Even if it isn't okay in my head yet, it's better if I say it's okay, because if I don't say it's okay, something else is going to come out. And the something else is never really profitable. Never. I won't even try to say sometimes. Never is it profitable. Especially when I'm at that point. So we find out the power of God and what His Word says. In other words, what does God say about it? What will help? How can I help? Lord, help me do this. That's what I said after He had given me this and I wrote it down. Lord, help me do this. If necessary, what will I do to make it right? What will I do in order to get the blessing of God? Well, we should all say unashamedly, I'll do anything to get the blessing of God. I'll cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the God. The enemy is under our feet. Don't step lightly on him. Have you ever wondered how amazingly he made us? You know, you get up in the night or something, or you're just walking through a crowd, or you're doing something, and you sense before you even put down your weight on something that you're on, you know, maybe on something that's a wrong thing, and somehow you are able to not carry that out. You can miss that, even though, you know, but for all normal reasons, but that sensitivity that's there, oh, God, help us not to block out the sensitivity of the Spirit, to not step on things that shouldn't be stepped on. You know, nobody, you know something? Nobody but the devil needs to be stepped on. Nobody. I was practically crying this morning. I just felt so bad because I was thinking about, God, there's just a lot of people that don't see any need for you. And then I was feeling overwhelmed. How do you get them to feel a need for you? And then I thought, how in the world did you get me to feel a need for you? Well, Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. He said you are the light of the world. Somehow or another, God will use us to show people that they need him. They don't need a dead Savior. They need a live Savior. They don't need an aloof God who is not really interested in anything except waiting for us to get to heaven and spend all of our time walking around his throne in a trance. He's interested in us having life and having it abundantly here and now. And as we open ourselves up to showing that, to revealing that, to revealing, we've got life. We've got joy. We've got peace. We've got love. We've got all the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we've got all of his blessings just rushing to overtake us. And when we open up to receive all of those blessings, then we can in turn pour them out, because freely we receive, freely we can give. And that's exciting. That is exciting. So seek first. Be consistent to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be quick. I mean, I say, God, help me to just be quick to bring those thoughts into captivity and to cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the night. They're robbing me. They're a thief in my house. They're stealing from me if I let them have anything. If I let them have an inch, they'll come in and take the furniture. I know when I stink. I just got to learn not to be able to tolerate it so well. I mean, I can tell when I stink. My wife is so kind. She's not saying amen. She can tell too. You know? I mean, I can be honest with you folks. I can be honest with anybody. But I'm not going to let it keep winning. I'm not going to. Because I can't afford to lose what God has for me. And I can't afford to not have what God wants me to have to get it to somebody else. I can't run the risk of deciding that I'll just be in any mood that I want to when God sends somebody by that needs to know the joy of the Lord. I can't risk that. I mean, I'll grant you that it's very usable. It's something that you can really use well to call them back and say, "Man, I stunk today when you saw me. Please forgive me. You know, that wasn't Jesus." It's a great witnessing tool. But I don't want to do it that way if I don't have to. It'd be a lot better to be able to give them what they need. Whatever that might be. But to do it Jesus' way. Amen? So, if we will be consistently consistent, not part-time, not with part of the gospel, but with all of the gospel, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to just let us know, you know, as I was writing the devotional, I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. Well, I know He will, because He was speaking to me while I was doing it and reminding me it's time to put some things to death. It's time to quit fighting the good fight. It's time to quit, you know, handling it and get rid of it. And I expect that this will be one of those where I'll get email answers from people that will say that it set them free. That God spoke to them about something, and they've made a covenant with God that they're taking care of it. I just am confident of that. Because that's how the Spirit of God works. And we need to be free. I asked the kids today when I came here, last song they were listening to just kept saying, "I'm free." You know, just the sweetest, "I'm free." And so when they got all done, I said, "Are you?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what are you free from?" You know, I mean, it's not a trick question. You said you're free. You know, what are you free from? Well, one said, "The strongholds of the devil." I said, "Well, you know, that's a real good church answer. Which stronghold?" "Well, sin." I said, "Okay. You're free from sin. Do you still sin?" Sometimes they make me think I really am deaf, because then they go into the teen mumble from a distance, you know. So I get an interpretation from somebody, whatever, you know. I mean, I said, the thing is, it's okay. We have freedom. It is for freedom that He set us free. We have it. We can access it. But are we walking in it? Now, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If we aren't walking in it, you know, God didn't say, "Get your act together, I'm going to kill you tonight." To me, He just said, "This is a good idea. Quit fighting a good fight. And end it. Bury this one in the sea of forgetfulness. Take care of these things." You know? There isn't any sense in having to work so hard to handle something that's already been handled. But you know what? We can get spiritually proud that, "Well, I'm handling it pretty well." No, not necessarily. If we're still handling it, why would I want to handle something that stinks, that's dead, that's rotten, you know? Wash your hands of it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything will be added unto us. How did Jesus do what Jesus did? That's how Jesus did what Jesus did. He sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He did things according to the will of God. He always pleased the Father, and the Father always answered His prayers. And God will always answer our prayers as well. Things will change. He will change things. Because we change things. Are we willing to be changed? Because He says, "Old things have passed away. All things become new." Are we willing to receive that? not just to be born again, but to have life and to have it more abundantly. Let's not block the blessings. Let's bust open the dam and let it flood us. Amen? How are the dominoes moving, Mary? Are they picking up? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mary had a picture of how dominoes fall and how the blessings come. And she said dominoes start out slowly, but man, they really start ripping. And we're just believing in this great 2008. It's going to be just a rush. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. And I pray, God, I know, Lord, that you have given us all the tools that we need to accomplish the good work that you've begun in us. And, Father, those things that we war against, rather than just defeating them, I pray, Lord, that you, by the Holy Spirit, would reveal them to us, and that we would have a resolve in our spirit that it is finished, that no longer will we be tormented, no longer will we let those things come back up, but we will seek first the kingdom of God and open the door. You said, Lord, that you had set before us a door that no man could shut except us. We could shut it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we throw open the door that all of these things might be added unto us as we seek first the kingdom of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.